Our boy, Elliot Friedman. Always good to catch up with you, sir. Do you hit the road now for the Stanley Cup Final?
Yes. Excuse me. I don't know what happened to my voice all of a sudden. Geez. Yes, I will be. I'm traveling, I think, probably either tomorrow night or Sunday morning.
This should be a pretty good final. And I know we'll probably discuss this. We can talk about it early next week. But it feels like right now these are the two teams that deserve to be there the most. Would you agree?
I would. I think that Pittsburgh was the best team, I thought, in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I thought they were better than Tampa for most of their series. I think there were a couple of moments in there where, you know, Tampa Bay took over the game as the series went on, or as the third period went on. I thought they owned a lot of third period of games, but I thought for the most part, Pittsburgh was the better team. I think San Jose, I mean, the way they beat the Kings, and even though some of their other series went seven games, I thought the second one in particular, I thought for the most part they were the better team. I really thought that of the six games they played against St. Louis, they were the better team in five of them, and that really showed. To me, this is like, I think if you had to have me pick a favorite, I'd probably take San Jose, but because I think they're a little bit deeper. But I look at the quality of the star players, and they're all playing great. I watched Crosby last night, and you know what I thought of, guys? I thought of, the 2 years, basically, we and he got robbed of his prime. Because the way he played last night, particularly in the third period when he was trying to protect the league, I thought he was spectacular.
What's next for Stamkos? Everyone wants to know, is he going to Toronto? Is he going somewhere? There's no chance of kissing. It's not even a kiss and make up. That would be the Drouin, which I'll ask you about next. But what do you see next for Stamkos?
Well, I think there'll be one more. I wouldn't be surprised if there's still another conversation. I mean, watching the playoffs, if I was Steve Yzerman and John Cooper, the one thing that would concern me about the way the season ended was, I don't think the playoffs are ever easy, but they had two of the easier rounds early on with Detroit and the Islanders. And watching them in this series against Pittsburgh, yes, they had some great third periods, but I think they were, for large parts of games, Pittsburgh kind of dictated the series. And I wonder if in any way, shape, or form, that's going to make them rethink how they view their future. I thought Kucherov, for the most part, was really good. But I thought there were times where, to me, the biggest question I have for Steve Yzerman is, Tyler Johnson, what do you think? You win a Stanley Cup with Tyler Johnson and not Steve Stamkos. I was disappointed in Filppula. I didn't think he was as effective as I would hope, especially last night. I didn't see a lot from him. I just wonder if you're looking at this and you're saying, if we let this guy go, what's our final determination on where we think we are? I still think it's unlikely he stays in Tampa, but I wouldn't be surprised if they all have at least one final major conversation about it.
This was the second youngest team in the league last year, went to the final. They're the fourth youngest this year. I don't think the issues in Tampa have anything to do with more than their inability to re-sign Stamkos and probably Bishop next year, because they've got five guys making huge money that don't contribute much, and Carl, Callahan, Filppula, Garrison, Coburn. The cap hits don't match the production.
Yeah, there's no question that's the case, Ryan. They have some, you never know. Like, can they find a way to move one of these contracts? I don't know. I mean, you're right. I think that's a very fair question. But all of a sudden, now you've got to deal with Kucherov. You've got to deal. The other guy, too, they've got to sign, and nobody mentions him in a year from now. And a guy who I thought had a great playoff is Alex Killorn. I thought he was really effective for a lot of it. And he's a year away from them having to deal with him, too. So there's a lot of big questions there. The other thing, but I got to think now, if you're Tampa, the Bishop and Vasilevsky decision, The series-winning goal was an ugly, ugly goal. There's no question about that, and no doubt Vasilevskiy wants that one back. But I thought, for the most part, that guy was pretty good.
Yeah, I did too.
I think you got to think that that Bishop Vasilevskiy decision is probably made now. I mean, how many years in a row has Bishop been hurt in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's true, man. I never.
Mean, you can't. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, a GM told me, if you're going to sign a guy with a long-term big deal, you got to know three things. And one is, he's absolutely critical to your team. And two is, he's a self-starter. You don't have to worry about it. And number three is, he said, the guy's got to be healthy, because the injuries will wreak havoc with your salary cap. And I'm looking at Bishop now, and I'm like, he's a great goalie. He was one of the best players in the league this year. But I think that's three playoffs in a row where he's been hurt.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to ask you that same question. To me, I think Vasilevskiy, if you needed a test to see if he was ready, you got one, even though you didn't really want one with Bishop's injury. And I think he passed it with flying colors. He let in a bad goal, but he was terrific on so many other saves last night. And I agree. He's 21. He's making very little dough. I think he's ready. And again, it's a $6 million for Ben Bishop, and you know why I'm asking here in Calgary. What does it take to get Ben Bishop? Because you know they need to move cap space, and they've got a guy ready and waiting.
Well, I think all of a sudden you've gone in Calgary from being in a really bad position to being in a really good position. I mean, all of a sudden, how many teams out there need goaltending? I think Toronto does. I think Calgary does. And then who else? Like, we can debate about Dallas,
yeah,
whether or not they do or they don't.
Maybe Carolina.
You're right. But all of a sudden, there's a surplus of guys. You know that Tampa's got to deal with their situation. You know that Anaheim's got to deal with their situation. All of a sudden, you know, St. Louis now, what's going to be the future there in goaltending goal? And you know that at one point, before he went on a great playoff run, I was wondering if Brian Elliott was going to be the goalie in Calgary next year. So I sit here and I think Calgary's in a good spot. I think they're going to be able to, and to me, the other big question is, do they look at it and say, we're going to get a long-term guy, or depending on what happens with Gilly's surgery, are we looking for a short-term guy? So I think you're going to have the pick of a pretty good situation. Now, the other thing that's a factor here, guys, and I'm hoping we're going to get some clarification before game one when Bettman has his State of the Union, is the expansion draft going to be a part of this? You know, as I talk to general managers as they prepare for the summer, that's their number one thing. Like, you know, are we going to sign guys? Are we going to buy out guys? Are we going to have to move guys depending on whether or not there's an expansion draft? And if there is one next year, I really think that only puts Calgary in an even better position because somebody's going to have to move some goaltenders.
If that is going to happen, we would expect an announcement soon after the Cup final?
Or, you know what, they could always do it in an off day if they want to do it in the middle.
Huh.
I that's what they did with Winnipeg, remember? It was an off day in the Stanley Cup when they did it. They could do it that way. I think the general managers would really like to know. Like, I'm under the impression the last day they could make that decision for next year is June 23rd. But I think that the teams would like to know well before then, and I would suspect they're going to know one way or the other.
The other question I have as far as Tampa Bay is Jonathan Drouin. He was quite good this postseason for a guy that wanted out. Do you think his appetite to leave has changed?
Hey, guys, I'm just on radio. Sorry, guys.
Look at, you're a star, dude.
Oh, celebrity sighting.
It's like we got Brad Pitt on the line. You're a superstar.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you have security?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so your thoughts on Drouin? Is it kiss and make up?
Yes, it's that problem's over. He's staying. You know, it's funny. Like after they beat the Islanders, his agent Alan Walsh was at that game, the game five. They won, And he walked by the Tampa room, and Eisenman was there. And I guess a bunch of the media members saw them have a huge hug. So they were all joking. Well, I guess this is no longer a problem. So I do think that that's going to be started out, and Drouin's going to stay in Tampa. And, you know, I thought he had some shifts last night where he was the most dangerous player on the ice. He was, obviously he scored, but he had some other ones. He had a great entry late in the game when, you know, they were trying to tie it. I don't have any doubt that this is all going to be sorted out between Drouin and the Lightning.
The other team that has been sent packing is the St. Louis Blues. What do you anticipate the fallout being there?
Well, you know, that is a great question. And, you know, Doug Armstrong, he's got to announce Canada's World Cup roster today, and I'm sure that's the last thing he wants to do is he thinks about, you know, his team. To me, the biggest question is the coaching staff. You know, Ken Hitchcock's contract is up. Kirk Muller's contract is up. You know, what are you doing there? You know, that was a coaching staff and a team that had, you know, some battles at times this year. I thought it was really interesting that after they lost the series in San Jose, Hitchcock did not go into the room to thank them. Got some really mixed reactions on that. You know, if Ken Hitchcock now, he's, you know what, by virtue of, if you look where coaches' salaries are going, Ken Hitchcock is going to get a nice raise. And I'm just curious to know. And, you know, the other things, too, is, you know, Backes, you know, Jeremy Rutherford, who's a great reporter in St. Louis, he reported that Backes, the last contract offer that Backes turned down was 3 years at $5.5 million per. Now, I had heard that there was a willingness to go to 4 and 24, 4 times 6. And I still don't think at this point in time that's going to get it done. So you've got Backes and you've got Brouwer, who are both very key parts of your playoff team. Doug Armstrong had a hard job to get them here. They had to knock down a wall that they couldn't get through. Now he's got some really hard decisions to make on, because this is the time where, you know, you are going to set the long-term salary cap future of your team. You got Tarasenko done. You've got Pietrangelo done. But now it's older guys. It's Backes, it's Brouwer, and it's your coach. And those are huge decisions for Doug Armstrong.
Well, and they got to pay Shattenkirk next summer. I feel like as good as Backes and Brouwer were, you're buying the back nine there, and Shattenkirk's just 27. I know where I'd prefer to spend my money.
Well, you know what? I understand that, Ryan. I think in a vacuum, you're totally right. But sometimes I think when people sometimes forget about the pressures of your market, of your organization, things like that. I think also, too, like, you've got Parayko there now. I look at Parayko, and I'm like, I got to think, like, does that make Shattenkirk expendable? And I'll tell you the other thing, too, is if you're having an auction for a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk, you're going to do very well. That is, you are totally right. That's where this league is going. You're looking at defensemen who can really move the puck. And you've got Pietrangelo and Parayko on your right side. Maybe you look at that as a luxury you can't afford. And if you for argument's sake put Shattenkirk on the market, I think you're going to do very well, because I think he's got a lot to bring everybody in this league.
Kind of in that same vein, defense of about that age. What are you hearing? And I'm guessing it's nothing fresh, but what's your expectation with Tyson Barrie in Colorado? He's an RFA making 2.6.
Yeah, it's nothing fresh. Like I've mentioned to you before, I think it's very likely he gets moved. You know, I think that there's some teams out there who like Tyson Barrie. So we've seen that Vancouver trade, I guess, came together really quick. It was over a day or so. So I think things can happen quickly. But I still think, for the most part, we're going to see these conversations closer to the draft as opposed to now. But I still think there's a good chance that Barry's getting moved.
What did you make of the Vancouver-Florida trade?
You know, the only thing that really... I mean, it surprised me simply because, you know, I didn't have any clue that there was anything going on. So anytime there's a trade where you're like, wow, where did that come from? You're surprised. I guess the only thing that really surprised me from the Vancouver point of view was the draft picks. You know, Jim Benning is a scout. He loves having draft picks. He knows the value of them. And in addition to McCann, you also give up a second and a fourth. That's what surprised me.
Number 33.
Yeah, that's what surprised me about that trade. That those were the picks that Vancouver gave up. I think it's going to be really interesting because I looked at Jared McCann. Like, the one thing you kind of look at from the Vancouver point of view now is whenever the Sedins decide that they're going to retire, and it could be a long time, like, those guys are still great players and they're in great shape. I thought McCann would be one of the guys that you're kind of hoping for that is going to be an offensive player for you. So I see what they're looking at. You're in the same division as Corey Perry. You're in the same division as Getzlaff. You're in the same division as Kopitar. And you're saying, we need a good Branson. But I just wonder about McCann. Isn't he the guy who's supposed to be your next wave of offense? And I'm curious to see how Vancouver's going to handle that. I also got to think that, you know, going out and get Branson, who needs a new contract in a year, that probably means the end for him.
Word this week that Pavel Datsyuk has either signed or is close to signing in the KHL. Thoughts on that and what that does for Detroit, because he is in that plus 35, doesn't come off the cap range.
Well, I think we're all expecting it, right? That he's going to end up in Russia. Even Ken Holland this week, I saw one of his quotes was that, you know, would I like it if he came into my office and said, well, I've changed my mind, I'm going to stay, but do I expect him to say that? No. And St. Petersburg was always the team. I do think Detroit will try to trade the contract. I think depending on what they're willing to do as part of that, they will be able to find a partner. But I would expect them to try to trade the contract. I also think that right now, if I had to pick where Radulov is going in the NHL, I'd say it's Detroit is the most likely team. I'm not saying for sure 100% it's going to happen, but it sounds like that there's an attempt being made for him to go there and then to sign him.
And I believe, what is it, the Sergachev guy that, or Shipachev, excuse me, that everyone's been after. Montreal apparently really likes him, or at least their fan base is going bananas.
He's not coming.
He's not coming.
No, I tweeted it out earlier in the week, and I've been able to get some more intel about it. You know, I spoke to somebody over there in St. Petersburg. He's got another year left on his contract. They can't get him out of it. I've heard from another source that it's going to cost about $700,000 to buy him out of that contract, and I just don't think anybody's going to do it. I think he's not coming, and the other thing I heard was they're trying to extend him. So I'm not even sure if a year is a long time. I don't know what the future is, but I've been told Ryan he can't come this year because he still owes time there.
Isn't it silly? Like, you look what Panarin did. Is that not worth $700,000 to a hockey club? Like, especially Montreal, offensively starved.
Well, I'm not even sure Montreal's allowed to pay it. Like, I'm not sure what the rule. Like, if you remember last year, one guy who bought his way out of a contract was Sergei Plotnikov, and you know he paid his way to get out of it, or at least it was said he paid his way. I mean, God only knows what really happened, but he paid his way to get out of a contract, and he's going back. I mean, absolutely, I can see it, but I'm not sure what the rules are on this. I'm not sure if teams are allowed to play.
Anything else you're chasing?
And also, I could see the NHL saying, you know what, we don't want you guys doing that.
Yeah, I gotcha. I was going to say, anything else you're chasing before we let you go?
Well, obviously, I mean, we're going to be curious to see where the coaching searches go now. I wonder if a Calgary Anaheim is going to interview Kirk Muller. I'm curious to see if he's going to get an interview here. I wonder, depending on what happens with Hitchcock, if, you know, I mean, I assume he's staying in St. Louis, but if not, does he become a candidate for, say, a job in Anaheim? And I think the Stamkos stuff is obviously going to heat up now simply because the season's over and we see where this goes. So I think there's going to be a lot for us to make up over the next couple of weeks.
Well, be careful in those downtown streets. Clearly, you're being mobbed.
Keep a Sharpie on you.
The celebrity that you are. Yeah, do you carry...
You only have happened? I was stopped in a traffic light and I had the window open. So that's what happened.
I see. But you get that all the time, so it's not like you're not used
really.
To it.
Not really. Your timing was perfect.
Thanks, Elliot. Have a weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. You guys too. Take care.
It's Elliot Friedman.